Our guest is Patrick Bennett, macro strategist at CIBC. Patrick, let's start with Brainerd. I mentioned a couple of times on the show today that one of the comments you made, besides the possible pause to assess how they're doing, was this line that liquidity is a little fragile in core markets. Now, that's kind of a scary comment. I'm wondering whether or not you're very concerned about that, or whether maybe this is just cover for a possible Fed pause, which is a delicate issue.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You look very interesting for sure. Look, I'm not convinced it's cover for a pause or anything like that. But I think as we always get into the end of any period, and we're getting in towards the end of the year now, and liquidity tends to get a little bit tighter, and we're facing a situation now where, you know, where rates are going higher. We're starting to see that it's starting to filter down into the real economy. So I think liquidity for all participants is getting tight and going to be tighter. Banks credit process is a little tighter as well. So all these things are not coming together at a good time or at a good pace, and it really does present a lot of challenges, I think, to activity, not just in the US but elsewhere, heading into 2023.
And to the other point, Patrick, does it matter too much what Lael Brainard says? We're still waiting to hear from Powell himself as to whether or not there's going to be a pivot.
Yeah, look, that's right. Look, the overwhelming balance of FOMC members has been to continue to push the hawkish story. I think if there's one thing where the market has probably got it wrong to date is trying to pick this terminal rate, trying to say, I think they'll end here, or I think there's only this much more to go. And over the last week or so, they have been trying to find the reason why we might see a pause. I think a pivot is the wrong description of that. We don't think that rates will be eased anytime in the next 12 or 15 months. So Powell is where it's at. He's done very well to follow what the market has priced in to date. So yeah, we're still in the very hawkish camp.
If Brainard's comments gave a little sucker to the markets, the comments from Jamie Dimon perhaps a little scarier to many, saying that he could see, under certain conditions, the S&P 500 down another 20%. Do you see the conditions for that?
Well, yeah, look, it's a scary one, isn't it? And we've had a few people come out and talk about, how far we could go down. We've had these, what we'd say is bear market rallies, last week. And most bear markets, or, the majority of bear markets, are characterized by sharp, retrace, just as we saw last week. I think it's too early to say that the base is in. We're going to face higher costs of capital for businesses. We're going to face weaker consumer demand of the impact of higher domestic interest rates for borrowers. So the earnings prospect look to be challenged. And I think that means that equity markets overall look to face the preponderance of risks is still to the downside.
And it means that the dollar remains strong. Where are you shorting here?
Yeah, absolutely, the dollar remains strong. We like shorting the Australian dollar. The Australian dollar is a high beta to global activity. It's a high beta to Chinese activity as well. So that's one of our favourite trades at the moment. The yen has been very weak to date. We think there's a prospect for the yen to stay reasonably stable around this level. Sterling looks to be challenged as well. The fiscal efforts there are not bearing fruit.
You're saying that it's still too early to pick an end to central bank hawkishness and that they can still surprise. I wanted to ask you our MLive Pulse question, though, in terms of when we're looking at the housing markets, inflation, the cost of living crisis, which big economy could, I guess, stop hiking first, and which asset class would be the first to pull out of a slump?
Yeah, look, a very good question. Thanks, Juliet. We're looking at household indebtedness. We think that's a very important trigger. And we look at places like Australia and Canada, which have a high household indebtedness, versus the US or versus New Zealand. So we do expect them to end earlier. We expected the RBA to hike only 25 basis points last week. We think that they will get to their peak earlier. We think they've still got some more work to do. Canada in the same way, we still expect them to hike another 50 basis points next month, but sort of slowing down. And we think that's probably where the the market opportunities are going to come from in the next few months is trying to decipher, trying to determine, you know, what the spread will be. Because even though we believe that there's further hiking to be done, it's not going to be just across the board.
I'm curious whether you think inflation stays with us a lot longer, or whether it's this kind of long and variable lag issue, that if the hikes they've already done are going to be so dramatically felt that you're not going to want to buy equities for a whole year because of that, rather than inflation.
Look, that's right, and I think, you know, we spoke earlier, equities have already been under the pump. We think there's probably some more underperformance to come from here. The normal lag, or the normal considered lag for monetary policy, 6 or 9 months till it starts to feed through. Services are getting higher prices now.
How often do you do 375 basis points in 8 months?
Well, look, absolutely, it's not in people's knowledge that are in the market now. So, look, I think we're getting towards that point, and central bankers are saying that we're going to get towards a point where we are able to pause and see how we go. But that doesn't mean that we're going to stop hiking, and that certainly doesn't mean that we're now pivoting to a point of starting to ease. And I think that's perhaps the point where the market is a little bit confused on at the moment, or that's where the contention is at the moment. So, yeah, further hikes, but I think this talk or notion about that we maybe then talk about easing in the middle or second half of next year is way, way too early.
Well, let's talk about one place where they are easing, and China, how much further policy support you're expecting, and whether or not we see a change in policy after the Party Congress.
Yeah, look, I think we could see a little bit more easing. I think they've been fairly measured in their steps so far. I don't know whether they're waiting for the Congress to announce a great deal more. China's challenge has been for some number of years to walk this fine line between trying to reduce debt and trying to reduce leverage, and trying to reduce the excess leverage, and trying to keep the economy still moving along. Well, that's sort of really come to a head this year with the property sector. That was born out of the red line, or the bright line test that we had more than 18 months ago now, I think. And so that's going to be a drag for some time. So continue to need more stimulus. We think that policy rates perhaps lowered by another 10 or 15 basis points by the first quarter of next year, which is helping to backstop the economy, but not really providing a big boost.
Do we get a nod to the private sector from Xi Jinping?
Well, I think we get a nod to the domestic sector for sure. Whether that's the private sector. I think when the private sector has not been doing so well, it's incumbent on the public sector to step up. So if we are going to see that, we'll talk about a pivot in that way, in China, then it probably means that we're going to see a more moderate outlook for growth for the next 2 to 3 years.
All right, Patrick, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming into our Hong Kong studio. Patrick Bennett is macro strategist at CIBC with us here on Daybreak Asia.